Elhamdülillahi Rabbil Alemin. Esselatu vesselamu ala Resulina Muhammedin ve alihi ve sahbihi ecma'in. Estaizu billah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Rabbişrahli sadri ve yessirli emri vahlul ugdeten min lisani yefkahu kavli sadakallahul azim. Distinguished guests, it's a great privilege for me to be among such luminaries of Islam today. Honestly, for myself, it has been a feast of 2 days of condensed Islamic knowledge for people like myself who are in the search of the truth, who are in the process of learning Islam. As we discuss unity through diversity and the fact that once one loses faith, he or she loses the ability to love, my subject tonight, as he or she becomes more diverse, as diversity increases, if faith is lost, then more conflicts arise rather than unity as a result of diversion. So diversity is actually a critical norm which might result in unity if and surrounded by the true knowledge, otherwise might cause to disasters in the social layers of the community. Tonight, while diversity might end up in the arise of conflicts, and to do that, we will not have to travel in the pages of the history. We will simply turn around and look towards the East, to a Muslim country. As I will make my brief remarks, we will watch an amateur tape that I brought with myself and see live examples of diversity and the intolerance that it led to. We will see women as the actors of this diversion and witness generations of women struggling for their acceptance in the society as human beings. What you will see in that tape will not be Europe of Middle Era, famous for its witch hunts, and it will not be 1950s of Alabama, America, known for the civil rights movement. It'll rather be today a Muslim country, my home country, Turkey. As we define a framework, a context within which diversity will play itself out, that framework would be the framework of our rights and responsibilities, which emanate from being servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is precisely how Islam treats us as the servants of God. Since He is the highest, the only worship, when we tie the sanctity of life to our Creator, we actually happen to sanctify life. Therefore, in effect, we would be saying what the Declaration of Independence says, that is, we are endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights. Within that concept lies our responsibilities and rights. Quran extensively speaks on the components of human rights. I can't go into too much detail, since I don't think I am an authority in Quranic knowledge. Now, Putting the theoretical part aside, in the practical world, at times, people take advantage of opportunities and waive the inalienable rights granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on social and political winds of the time. This is where we face diversity, leading to intolerance and inevitably to chaos and friction. Without a guiding fundamental concept, a value system in judging, the lack of moral yardstick inevitably leads to inconsistent and sometimes hypocritical policies and advocacies. Applications of this sort develop themselves in the society independent of the time and the place. Now, what we have in Turkey, the challenges that the conservative Muslim people of Turkey face every day can very well be considered in this category. The basic rights of Turkish people granted to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are stripped off one by one by the government in office in open contradiction with the universal laws. One of the major challenges we have to deal with today, as most of you know, is the ban on hijab in public life. It's not as bad as Tunis, but we are getting there very fast. It is a shameful label for the nation that has impacted almost every family's life in the country over two decades. Now, with your hijab in Turkey, you can very well be a farmer working under the burning sun, trying to keep the country on its two feet as an agricultural country. You can very well choose to wear your hijab and be the cleaning lady to mop the floors and clean up the windows of the wealthy homes, but you cannot dare to come to a respectable social position in the society where you will be looked up to and be a role model to generations to come. I happen to be only one of them. As a female deputy senator, elected by the people and for the people, I was prevented physically from taking my oath and serving my term simply because I chose to wear hijab. The scarf, according to the powers that be, represents Islam, a form of decency, so it is a threat to the corrupt system in office. It was quite an experience to see the so-called progressive, contemporary, Western, secular-looking senators cursing me in the name of Westernism, as I walked into the chamber with my hijab on, as a senator elected like themselves with 380,000 constituents. What we had experienced there was diversion, playing out as a component of discrimination in degrading, based on religious preferences. We have examples of women becoming targets of women. Women degrading other women by man-made rules. Women dishonoring other women based on their differences. And women joining hands with others in witch-hunting other women. You can hear their deafening silence in the name of contemporarism as they watch, only watch but do nothing, when a 15-year-old girl, a junior high student, is taken into solitary confinement for 45 days just because she protested against the infamous ban on hijab. And the squirrel has been sentenced to 3 years of imprisonment 2 weeks ago. They cannot see the worry in the eyes of a young girl as she comes to her school every day to have an equal opportunity to education. She has to use the bathroom window that looks to the backyard of her school rather than using the main gate like other students, so that she will not have to deal with the guardians at the door who will pull her hijab off. As the squirrel comes to her school every day, one day she found the ladies' restroom window locked on purpose. Then she has to use the male restroom window to sneak into her classroom. In this age and in this era, to have an equal opportunity to education, they cannot hear their cries. In the interest of brevity, I will not cite many examples, rather give you a statistical number. According to a human rights organization, Mazlumdar, which is recognized as an accurate information source by State Department of America, a total number of 37,475 students have been expelled from universities because of their hijab only between the years of 1997 and 1999. The man is a shameful label, as I have expressed. But there is no regulation in the Constitution of Turkey that bans women from wearing hijab. These are merely arbitrary decrees, policies, whose legitimacy is only explained by Turkey is a secular, contemporary Western state. The ban has started about 20 years ago, with the government hijacking the legislative power with an arbitrary decree in banning hijab from public servants. No democratic response, for no viable democratic opposition exists or dares to challenge the powers that be. The government later expanded the ban to universities through Higher Education Council, although there is no regulation in the education code to ban hijab. Over the years, the number of women who have been victimized by the ban accumulated tremendously and caused the existence of a large group in the Turkish society who are now holding the majority in number by 70% in women population, yet not even being treated as a minority. Now they are known as victimized hijabis. My case was one of them, and definitely was not an exception. It is rather an emblematic of the harsh persecution that thousands of people are subjected to by the entity that is afraid of its own people. Violations of rights have long been modus operandi. To do that, secularism is used as a means of prevention of basic rights, religious freedom, rather than to separate the state and the religion. So, religion has no right to interfere with the state, but the state has all the rights to interfere with the religion, even inside the boundaries of your home. That's why we have a law that has been passed about 3 years ago that bans the teaching of Quran to our children at home or outside home under the age of 12. That is regulated by our state. Now, who is the orchestrator behind this all-out war against Islam is the question. It is the very force that does not take its power from people. Wealthy minority elite who has cozy relationships with the secretaries, members of the parliament, and the bureaucrats, and so on. And their power is definitely not limited to only their businesses, but to economy and politics. They are the ones who receive the sweetheart deals in government contracts, including communication licenses, gas pipelines, and all sorts of things. And almost invariably, one or more of their names surface in bank embezzlement schemes, phony export schemes, and bribing, and etc. This corrupt system that is based on a chaos, non-functioning government institutions, lack of public morals is the perfect environment for the corrupt entities to maintain their entrenched power. So as much as it might appear that the oppression over the Muslim people is that of a political ideology that might be disguised under pseudonyms Westernism and secularism, a more important motivation is the perpetuation of the environment from which they receive a windfall at the expense of millions. So the beneficiaries of this corrupt system are the same ones who are active in all-out war against Islam using diversity. Lack of true knowledge, loss of faith, deterring from Islam have been the reasons which cause diversity, resulting in separation, more polarization, and more conflicts rather than unity. Unlike America, the acceptance and tolerance of differences between diverse groups within the society could not be carried out to the national scene in the case of Turkey. Now, speaking of America, America is a melting pot or a tapestry with many colors, where unlike many countries, the balance does not always have to be reached by one culture or ideology destroying or dominating others if we fulfill our responsibilities and if we are determined to succeed. Now, in America, we observe in the experiences of lobbies, many powerful lobbies, as a powerful tool of getting things done in the Western world, even the unjust causes can prevail if it is advanced by well-organized, self-confident, dedicated groups of people who do not take a no for an answer. But the question is, are we aware of our responsibilities as American Muslims? Are we aware of the potential we are holding in our hands to succeed as American Muslims? Are we aware of the consequences of declaring that we believed in Amen to and Amen now? The consequences that comes after we say that we believed in, that put the responsibility of being walking and talking representatives of Islam in this country. As we read, أَسْتَعِذُ بِاللَّهِ وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ خَلَائِفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Are we ready to pick the responsibility of this ayah and carry out our messages? As we look for the answer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala channels our efforts to the right direction by أَسْتَعِذُ بِاللَّهِ أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ. So now we know which direction to take in life. We know what we have to do. That is to struggle for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that struggle comes the mercy. Mercy, a concept that will keep us on track and will help us not to fall into despair. As I will have to conclude, I would like to say that as a person who have been in the fight of the freedom for the Muslim women of Turkey, there were several occasions that I could have fallen into despair. But despair is not for the believer, because despair is for the weak one, and the believer is not allowed to be the weak one. If I fall into despair, then who will be the advocate of the despised, humiliated, and the oppressed women of Turkey? If it is not you or me, then who will heal the wounds of the Bosnian women who survived the rape camps before our eyes? If it is not us, then who will pat the back of the orphan in Chechnya, in Kashmir, and in Palestine today? If it is not ours, then whose hearts will go out to those girls who are persecuted for wearing hijab? If not now, then when do we think we will comprehend what we read, what we hear, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايِ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ? Do we ever consider what the taxes of the ni'mas and opportunities that Allah has granted to us would be? Or do we think that we would be left alone after we said Amenna? As far as I am concerned, I will have to conclude by saying that, much like those who have shouted out and out in the parliament in May 1999, there might be ones who will try to silence the fight for freedom for Muslim women in Turkey. If they consider themselves as patriots, then I will wear their scorn as a badge of honor. We will not be silenced. We will continue to speak out for the abused women of Turkey. I, as a daughter of a woman who was also denied her right in 1980s as a university professor for wearing hijab, owe it to my daughters who are 11 and 10 to stand for which is righteous and decent. It is my duty, and I am endowed by my Creator with inalienable rights to do so. This is my share in working towards unity. Assalamu alaikum.